This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, welcome in. It is the G-Bag Nation here on a victorious Wednesday for your Texas Rangers. They get the win in Chicago, scored 6 runs again. There's a lot going on in baseball. There's a lot going on in sports. It is a historic afternoon as Luka Doncic returns. Let's talk about all this, okay? General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl champion. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing to go about 2 hours, 45 minutes, flawless, with his Mavericks cap on. Okay, it's a big night to be watching who's wearing what. Saw a kid get out of the car this morning and drop off line in a Lakers jersey. I was like, oh, you troll. That is savage. Chief, he is here. Woolchuck's out, had a baby appointment today.
Yeah.
So congrats to him. Yeah, Carter Freeman. Dump that. Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. How the heck you doing, Brian?
Doing well. You mentioned I was at the Star doing the Cowboys break, which I do every Wednesday. And actually, 3 gentlemen all in Laker Luka jerseys touring the facility. So maybe we have some out-of-town folks that are come to see Luka play, but they all 3 had gold Laker jerseys. He's on standing on the practice field.
That's unbelievable, those guys. I can't believe it. I hope they have fun and enjoy their time. But let's talk about a great afternoon for your Texas Rangers is Jared Sandler joining us from wintry Chicago. Sands, how the heck are you, buddy? Do we not have Sands?
What? Hello?
Oh, there he is. At Jared Sandler on Twitter. Hey, Jared. Great job today, buddy, on the call. Enjoyed listening to you and watching the Rangers clean up here. How about that Corey Seager, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Obviously guys go through stretches, where they're on fire or they're just not producing like they normally do. And maybe you worry about some guys like, oh, is this going to be a year? They just kind of have a down year. But you just don't worry about that with Corey and only a matter of time. And the thing with Corey, guys, that to me, and there are a lot of things so impressive. I shouldn't say the thing. One of the things. There are certain guys who, and they get paid a lot of money to do this, but they feast on bad pitching. That's not really the case with Corey. Doesn't matter if it's a lefty or a righty, an all-star, or a guy who's a top prospect, a guy throwing 102, or a guy with the most wicked breaking ball. He can pretty much hit just about everyone, in a given game, a given night. You don't worry about him having his performance neutralized just because the guy on the mound is really good at what he does. That's one of the things that makes Corey one of the best in the game and facing one of the best pitchers in the game today. He got the Rangers going in the first inning.
You know, Jared, I want to ask you about Mally's performance, but I'm not. I'm going to ask you, how hard is it to get Hixie to answer a trivia question?
Broaddus, let me tell you something.
It took 2 innings. It took 2 innings. You're like... I'm like, okay, well, when we come back, Matt's going to answer that question for us next on the Ranger Radio Network. Yeah, just want to guess. You know, it took you 2 innings. My man was, I don't know what he was trying to do.
He's no Dave Raymond, Sands.
Yeah, what was going on there?
You know, God bless Matt, because he is so
he is a great guy.
He is not, and he'll tell you this, he is not good at like that on the spot recon. When we have these trivia questions on air, a lot of times they're organic. It's not like, hey Matt, you know, in two innings I'm gonna ask you this question, so start thinking about it. And he knows so much about baseball, but for whatever reason, in these like on the spot moments when it comes to specific trivia, you know, he's told me, he's like, I'm not good at it. And, but yeah, he had a tough time spitting out a guess. And I'll also answer the other thing you had mentioned, Brad. I thought, you know, Mally was constantly, it was just putting hitters in a position where, you know, right when they stepped in the box, it was like they were down 0-2. I mean, he was attacking the zone with quality strikes, right? And it's not the same just to throw two pitches right down the plate, right down the middle over the plate. Like, he's going corner to corner. And I thought he had a couple of bats where it's clinical, going up with a fastball, down with a splitter, down with a splitter, back up with a fastball, just moving the eye level. And, you know, he just did a really good job. And, you know, only four strikeouts, but a lot of really weak contact. And I thought it was impressive how efficient he was here today.
I mean, how good is Tyler Mally? You know, last year he was trying to come back from injury, and it was tough to get a gauge for it. But this looks pretty good. I guess some guys are getting on right now, but an ERA at 1.35. You know, how does he compare to like Eovaldi? How would you, you know, break that down and put that in context for us?
Yeah, that's a great question, Gavin. I think first of all, one of the things that separates Eovaldi is just the resume in big games, and so I just want to put that out there. Now, Tyler Mally's not really ever had the opportunity to pitch in big games. And a part of the reason why I think Tyler Mally is somewhat of an unknown to Rangers fans and maybe AL fans is, you know, he really kind of emerged as a really good starter in this league with a Cincinnati Reds team that wasn't competitive. So just not a team, and it's Cincinnati, right? So when the Dodgers aren't competitive, he still might get some run on the Dodgers, certainly the Yankees, these East Coast teams. But when Cincinnati's not competitive, you don't really hear much. And Tyler Mally's a 200 strikeout guy, you know, and you don't luck into that, you know, at this level. And so, you know, basically being away for 2 years, coming back from injury, obviously he came back last year briefly, kind of out of sight, out of mind. He's a guy when he's healthy. Had he not gotten hurt, you know, I think the thought was, hey, this is one of the, you know, the 30 to 40 best starters in baseball. And, you know, that might sound like a large list, but you think about every team's got a number one starter. If you're one of the 30 to 40 best, it stands to reason you're, you know, one of the top two starters on a given team. And this team is probably the third best. I do think that full strength Nathan Eovaldi, I'd still probably take a little bit over Tyler Mally, but Tyler Mally's a really good pitcher. It's just really a question of, you know, what's the health like? Is he able to come back and be the same guy? And then, you know, how does he hold up as the year progresses?
Hey, Jared, you know, with Garcia, you know, a little bit of some problems, you know, not getting the hits against Tampa, but, you know, swinging the bat better here. The outs in Tampa, it wasn't, I think you made a great point on the broadcast about, you know, it's like when we see him make outs, it's bad swinging outs. But these are outs where he's actually making really good contact. So talk about that a little bit, though. I thought that was a great observation on your part about swinging the bat a little bit better, but also, you know, getting outs in the Tampa series, but not let it affect how he played against the Cubs.
Yeah, so, you know, what I was saying, I mentioned it, I think, in the fifth inning, he had a little bloop single that drove in a run, and, you know, what I shared was, coming into the series, Adolis had an 0-for-17,
right,
and then got a hit in his very first at-bat in this series, but it was 0-for-17 with four strikeouts, and you know, it seems like in the past, and this is one of the things I'm going to research when we get on the bus and on the plane, but, you know, I'm curious, in any stretch in Adolis' career where he's gone 0-for-15 or worse than that, has he struck out as few as four times? Because, you know, Adolis is streaky, and sometimes when he is streaking in a bad way, I mean, we're racking up the strikeouts, right? And my point was simply, hey, you know, yeah, he was 0-for-7 last 17, and it's not like all 17 batted balls were great contact, but he did enter yesterday's game with the third highest exit velocity in baseball through 2 weeks, which some people might roll their eyes, but simply just suggesting that Adolis is hitting the ball hard frequently. But even today in the fifth inning, when he didn't hit the ball hard, just putting the ball in play in that situation gives you a chance.
And, yeah.
You know, hey, nobody out, nobody on. Yes, put the the ball in play, you've got a chance. There could be an error. You could find some real estate. But, you know, a strikeout's no different in that situation than a fly ball or a fly out. But, you know, that's judging it based on the end outcome. You don't know if you put the ball in play if it's going to be a fly out or it's going to, you know, drop in or be dropped, whatever the case is. I just think in general, even though Adolis was riding that 0 for 17 coming into this series, it didn't have that feel because he was having more competitive at bat.
There you go. Yeah.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. Okay, so with the Langford injury, the way the outfield looked today, you had Garcia in right, you had Leody in center, and then Pilar in left. Is that something that we should get accustomed to here while Langford's out?
Well, I think against a lefty, yes. I think against a righty, we'll see on Friday with Bryce Miller on the mound. You know, they brought Dustin Harris up. I don't know if it's to, you know, be in there against righties. You obviously have Josh Smith you can do a lot with, whether it's putting him in the infield or maybe having him play in the outfield to fill a void. You know, Jock Peterson's not going to play in the outfield, but, you know, he'll be there in, against righties as a DH. So you probably don't have that DH spot to your disposal. I don't know, you know, what the thought is with Ezekiel Duran, and maybe they did bring Dustin Harris up because they wanted to see what it looked like. But, you know, the beauty of having a guy like Josh Smith is you've got options, right? Josh Young at third, Seager at short, Simeon at second, Berger at first. Well, where does Josh Smith fit in? Well, right now that Josh Young is healthy, it might be in the outfield. It might be playing left field. And so against a righty, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the look with Smith in left. You've got Leody in center and then Adolis in right.
How's Osuna doing down there? Why isn't it time for him?
Yeah. So he's gone off to a slow start, just statistically speaking. I obviously haven't watched, but he was 2 for 17 to start the year when I checked yesterday. But I mean, that's seven, you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot. The thing, Gavin, I think, you know, when I was just considering the options last night, he's not on the 40-man roster, and you have options on the 40-man.
Yeah.
And if it's not going to be an extended absence for White Langford, which I think they're optimistic it won't be, there's no reason to make a 40-man move unnecessarily. And so I think because they had some options on the 40-man, they probably just figured it would be easier to do that. Now, if Osuna was tearing the cover off the ball, or if Evan Carter was, you know, off to a great start, then maybe it's a different conversation. But, you know, Osuna, it's not to say he's not going to have a great year or be up at some point, but he's not riding a wave right now. And so I think they figured it would be easier. And the other thing too, guys, is if they don't feel like there's going to be regular playing time, it might not make sense. You know, Dustin Harris might be up to fill a spot on the bench, and you don't worry as much about him not playing every day. Like you would probably prefer to avoid that scenario with Alejandro Osuna.
Where are we at in the Marcus Semien progression when it comes to him at the plate, getting the hit and a walk today? But where would you say things stands with Marcus right now?
Yeah, I mean, it could be better. It could be better for a lot of these guys. I'll tell you this. I think the priority right now is getting Jock Peterson going, right? That's going to be the big one, especially if Wyatt's going to miss even, you know, just 10 days. Getting Jock Peterson going, I think, is more of a priority. Now, you know, Marcus definitely had a nice day today, a little bit of a better series. Would obviously love to see an uptick there, but the bats in general, just, you know, finally back-to-back double-digit hit performances after, you know, none of those the first 11 games. So, you know, maybe as the bats, you know, start to get going as a group, we'll start to see an uptick for Marcus.
Jared Sandler brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Anything else that we failed to bring up that's massively important about this baseball team before we let you go, Jared?
No, fellas, I think, you know, big series coming up this weekend with the Mariners. That should be fun. And, you know, hopefully the Rangers can take 2 or 3 and hit home with their first series win against a divisional opponent.
All right. Have a great flight up there, and we'll chat with you on Friday.
Sounds good, fellas. Take care.
Salute. Again, Blue Nail Roofing bringing you that Jared Sandler game day update here in the G-Bag Nation, home of the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. Welcome in. It is, it's a big day, and we only have 2.5 hours to talk about all this stuff with you. But, I mean, the top story is the Mavs trying to roll out the red carpet for Luka Doncic. Gentlemen, let's talk about this. Okay.
Why?
You know, T-shirts that say thank you for everything in Slovenian. Yeah. I think, you know, they're trying to generate the love and the warm vibes to drown out the potential protests that are going on.
The organization traded him.
Yeah, it is weird.
They traded him. You know, it's not like he left on his own accord as a free agent.
Yeah.
They said, listen, you're
we don't
not
want you.
Yeah, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get this. This is really, really odd to me. I'm a fan of Luka. I'm not trying to be a hard ass or anything about that, but it just seems very odd to me that your front office ownership all determined that this player wasn't good enough and you needed to do something about it.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have t-shirts and let people wear them and say thank you and all whatever.
It's weird.
It is very weird. It's very strange.
There might be two different factions inside where the GM traded him, but the marketing department's like, we still love Luka and we want to give the fans something to appreciate this day and for their moment to say goodbye to Luka in their own way. You know, I think there could be, you know, reasonable arguments for it. But in light of the context of everything that happens, it seems tone deaf, Chief.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly how it feels. And it is just, it's the whole thing's been a masterclass in PR disaster, yeah. The what not to do thing. And so now it's that sort of Hail Mary trying to have some level of kiss and make up factor after all the things that were said and done over the course of the last two months.
They raped this man over the coals.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And you're going to say thank you for everything you've done?
Yeah.
Thank you for being out of shape but scoring 41 points tonight? You know, what are we doing?
It's a masterclass in gaslighting.
There, yes, it is. Mixed signals, to say the least, and kind of weird. But, I mean, if you get the t-shirt, it's pretty cool. I would want one of those t-shirts.
I saw you retweeted. Saw you retweeted. You want one of those Fire Nico Lakers shirts.
I would like one of those Fire Nico Lakers shirts as well. That's a purple and gold thing I could put on.
Yeah.
Right there.
What's and Fire Nico in Slovenian? Because that's the shirt I want.
That would be awesome, dude. If we could get those cranked out. I'm sure a lot of people have ideas for signs and different kinds of expressions that they could make with their apparel. Yeah. I'm just fascinated to see what kind of a game Luka's going to put on tonight. I imagine he's going to try to have 40 at half.
He is.
If the ball is falling, I expect logo threes. I expect step back threes. The full arsenal. Plus, he was thrown out last night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got himself thrown out so he could rest up.
There you go.
For the game.
NBA has rescinded that technical, by the way,
because
it was pointed at a fan and not at the referee. So it was kind of a joke. But and he pulled up to the AAC just a few minutes ago. And he, of course, is wearing the all black attire because it's a funeral.
Ooh. Yeah. Get him a body bag. How will tonight's game make this story move forward? You know, the Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. Hell of a line from Luka at shoot-around. I didn't end up here by mistake, you know. I worked my ass off to be here. A shot at the narrative that he didn't work hard enough. You know, I think that's a critique that a lot of athletes suffer through. And, you know, you really start to see after you've spent a lot of time in this game how great a lot of the players are that don't even make it. Like, these guys are the best of the best of the best, and nobody is born to do this. It takes a maniacal amount of focus and years of hard work to get to this level. And, you know, I think Luka is kind of cursed in a way that all human bodies aren't created equally when it comes to cardio. You know, some people's lungs and hearts just don't produce enough oxygen to give you the energy. Some people, you know, carry a little bit extra weight in their torso, you know, and that is going to make changing direction in your lower half more difficult. And, you know, that hurts Luka on defense. That hurts Luka trying to play a 40-minute game, you know. Like, Dennis Rodman's on one far end of the spectrum where he could party his balls off for a week in Las Vegas and come back and lap Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen in conditioning drills. Yeah. That was that dude. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Luka Doncic, probably in the bottom 1% of natural cardiovascular ability. And, you know, I think because you combine that with his lifestyle, they thought, you know, this guy is, you know, doing, you know, nowhere near the amount of work that it takes to go ahead and win us a championship. And it's, you know, the biggest error that a front office in DFW sport has ever made. So here we are picking up the pieces going into tonight's game and, you know, trying to decide for ourselves what to expect and what happens next. Gatorade released a new ad. It's Luka dribbling on the bench by himself in an empty arena. It says, "No love lost, just sweat." And then he gets up and walks away.
One of the interesting things about it, too, that the internet has observed is the Gatorade towel that's draped over his neck. It reads sort of as traitor.
Really?
If you look at it, and it's, I mean, you're not making it up either. When you see it, it's like, oh, yeah, you can see that this was, it's lined up perfectly. One side of the towel on his right side has like the R-A-I, and then the other side has the T-O-R.
Wow.
You see that?
Yes, I do.
So there's a sort of an Easter egg situation in there.
Because loyalty's so big. You know, he's well,
or you it folks, was. You folks that notice that are super smart. I just saw the picture and I thought, oh, here's a Gatorade ad.
Yeah.
But Gatorade, give him credit, man.
The internet sees all.
They see all.
Check this out from Tim McMahon's piece today. Team sources tell ESPN the Mavs also lined up lucrative sponsorship deals for Wednesday's game with multiple companies that Doncic endorses, but those deals fell apart after Doncic's camp declined to give its blessing.
Yeah.
Pointedly noting that he now plays for the Lakers.
Ouch. Maybe you guys forgot or whatever, but yeah, he's not on your team anymore. Yeah, I mean, that shows the type of retaliation, and it makes perfect sense. Like, if Luka has any sort of say in the matter, there's no way I'm going to allow you to make a single dollar more in your pocket on behalf of me than what has already been done.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and I was just thinking about the salespeople. You know, that's Luka's perspective. I think from the Mavs perspective, how hard does that hit over there in those sales offices? Like, what the crap? Do I need to go find a new job? You know, I put together this deal to celebrate Luka coming back, and my guy screwed it up so bad. I don't know what Nico's going to do next to hurt my ability to sell this product.
I wonder how many of those PowerPoint presentations and things and stuff that they hand out, those sheets and stuff, have Luka Doncic's image on it. That they had to go and scrap and redo and reshoot and all that stuff, the time that it takes. But that's what you do. You're in professional sports. You got to adapt. You know?
You do. You do. And they're in a place right now where there's no right answers. Nah. You know, no matter what they do, it's going to be met with
angst. I just can't believe they're putting up T-shirts. Just, you know, if you want to honor them, you know, 10 years from now or something like that and bring them back and have one of these, you know, thank you for everything you did moments, I think we're too quick to thank people for, you know, you traded him. You said it. He's not good enough to be here.
Yeah.
You know, now you're thanking him for everything he did.
I think they're trying to give something to the fans. I don't think this is about Luka. I think this is about them trying to rebuild the relationship with the fans.
I think you need to just shut your damn mouth is what you need to do and try and find your way to play basketball. You're going to be in the play-in. You're going to be in the play-in series. The Suns have got to win games. It's impossible for them to win games. You just need to figure out how to get your team right and go do the best you can, you know, and just try and move on the best you can from this. You know, I know people are, it's on and on and on. You know, guys leave teams all the time, you know. I mean, yeah, this was a special, rare player. I get it. It was hard for me to watch Emmitt Smith play in a Arizona Cardinals uniform, Tony Dorsett in a Denver Bronco one. You know,
at least you didn't trade him in their prime.
That's what I'm saying. But that's prime. What I'm saying, though. You got to just kind of move on. Mm. You know, you move on and I think you're on to something. This organization might not be the same for another five years or so. I agree with you on that. 10. But man, I mean, it's to me, it just find a way to move on, and you know, and you are who you are, and you made a deal, and in history will say that it's probably one of the worst deals. So good as one of the worst deals. And the guy that made the trade might not even be here.
I'm moving on with the NBA League Pass myself. I just think the game is still great. There's a lot of awesome players, and you know, I enjoy it. You know, for a lot of people, though, I think this breaks their relationship with the Mavs forever until they find a transcendent star.
For sure. And when you start talking about the impact of it all,
they might not ever find a guy like that again.
No, there's a good chance
they might find some great players. You know, they might find, let me tell you this, the fact that they were able to do what they did with Kyrie Irving, with all the questions that they had about him, you know, that nobody wanted to touch him. I mean, he was the epitome of like, not us. Nuh-uh, we're not going to do that. Well, look what he's coming and done. But he's not Luka. But you know what? He would have given you some hope if he wouldn't have gotten hurt. You know, with all the guys coming back, he would have made your team better. You know, so I don't know. I mean, that's got to be your hope now, but you'll never find a player like that Luka. You'll never find one like that.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to pay him the $70 million contract, and that's fine. Just get a buttload of draft picks. Don't get a super injured guy to go along with your other super injured guy who are both over 32 years old.
I think you're onto something.
Unbelievable.
I think you're onto something.
Let's come back and talk about what unfortunately transpired at the end of that Stars game. It had never happened in the history of hockey. Does it mean anything other than just being the biggest embarrassment of the season? I don't know, but we'll discuss that. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're back.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Belt's in the bullpen right now. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but you can feel the tension in the air with this diss track that he released against the Nosebleed Boys a couple of days ago. It's palpable.
I think he's getting ready to go downtown and interview Mavs fans before go into the arena.
Okay.
I think that's his plan. Because I retweeted his tweet to say, hey, I'll be down there at 5:30. Come and find me, and you can give me your opinion. And I'm sure he's going to solicit a few of those, and there'll be some he has to probably bleep out.
Well, if you see a guy with what appears to be a Superman hat on with a glorious neck beard and a hoodie in 85-degree weather, that's your guy, Bobby Belt.
That's Bobby Belt. Go say hello to Bobby. Yeah.
Dallas Stars were up 5-2 with a minute to go.
Oh, my God.
They end up losing in overtime. I would love to be able to look into Woolchuck's eyes right now and ask him if he's worried at all. Okay,
you should be.
At 877-881-1053, Captain Jamie Benn described the loss as unacceptable, emphasizing the team's need to close out games effectively.
Yeah.
I guess they just won seven in a row, but now this marks their third consecutive loss where they relinquished a third period lead.
They've had leads, and they're starting to give up goals at alarming rates. Seriously.
Well, I mean,
and I know DeSmith was in, but you know what? Defensively, they were a wreck. They score the empty netters. They go up. You're feeling great. The crowd at the AAC. Shippy spinning the tunes. Everybody's feeling good. You know, you feel like you got the points secured. And then all of a sudden, it's like it's just a comedy of errors and allowing guys right in front of the net, to Smith a couple of different times. Guys, and, you know, they even get, you know, Vancouver even ties the game. I'll say this for Vancouver. If they have a regular, if they lose that game in just regular fashion, regular time, they're eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, their season's over.
So they're playing with the, you know, and you've got to think when you're up three goals that, but man, they did not quit. They just did not quit. And Dallas played some of the worst hockey in the last few minutes of that game. They took a penalty in overtime. Luckily, that didn't end in overtime, you know, with what's going on there. When Dawson, you brought it up the other day, far too many penalties. The Hockey Hawk.
Oh, yeah. Penalties and turnovers.
Far too many penalties.
It's just a carelessness.
Just a bad carelessness of hockey. And, you know, unfortunately, though, that, you know, that's, you got Winnipeg coming in, but
at this point,
there's a side of me that's like, guys, is this a turn on and turn off situation? I mean, hockey,
I'm pretty
I don't
turned
know.
Off right now.
Well, do you have that ability to, you know, turn it on and turn it off when you get to the playoffs? I'm worried, honestly, going to play, you know, if you had to play Colorado.
Especially without
like
Miro.
This.
You know?
Yeah, it's rough without him.
I mean,
it clearly is.
That's an all-time collapse, dude. I mean, bouncing
that's
back
historic.
From that. Maybe it becomes a bit of a wake-up call situation, and you can spin
Man,
the tail on the positive moving forward, but that was all-time disaster. I can't tell you how many times that screenshot of the final minute of the third period keeps popping up on my timeline where Dallas is up 5-2.
Sitting there watching.
With a minute left to go in
believe.
The third period.
Yeah, Michelle and I were sitting there watching, and she doesn't know much about hockey. And she goes, what just happened? And I go, they just lost. And she goes, wait a minute. They were winning 5-2. How does that? And she go, and I go, just.
I can't explain what's never been seen before.
Yeah, that's exactly why. And I don't think even the broadcasts, I mean, with Razor and Josh, I don't think they could even explain. And you could just feel this. You know, this whole thing of trying to catch Winnipeg has just been awful.
Third best defense in the league. Now, they don't have Miro, so I don't know how good they really are on defense right now, but it's at least top 10 still.
Yeah. Like you have a lot of goals, though.
It's unbelievable. So right now you have to wonder, do they lack the quality? Like some of these mistakes that are happening on defense to lead to some of these losses. But what about their 7-game winning streak? Is this just a lack of focus as they're waiting for the playoffs? Maybe. But now you have to also include, Brian, sorry to interrupt.
No, I was interrupting you.
Is it
you.
In their head? How are you going to feel now with 5 minutes to go on the ice?
Right.
And if that affects their confidence in any way, they're not going to be able to get through it. A single series.
Let's be honest. Trying to win the division, that's a big thing. That means, you know, maybe a little bit easier path.
That's pretty much out of the cards now.
Yeah, but that's what was on the line.
Yeah.
You know, that,
right, you were playing for something too, just as much as they were.
Yeah, you weren't just playing to just, oh, well, heck, it was a flyer opportunity. No, man, you've lost some games at home.
They were looking ahead to Winnipeg already. They thought this game was in the books, and they knew they had the big one coming up tomorrow. And I mean, but the whole thing feels like a lack of focus, a carelessness. When you're talking about that many penalties and turnovers over the course of an extended period of time, that's a lack of focus.
Would you think there's a lot on the line to try and win the division?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so
that's what makes it more frustrating.
But that's what makes it like, okay, if we start the playoffs.
This is the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're trying like hell not to play Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, and now
the pressure looks like maybe it got to you.
Yeah, and so how is that going to turn into when the playoffs actually start?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Let's see what the Franklin injury attorney text line has to say about this. 972 says, my fault. I turned it off after the empty netters.
Nah, I
take full responsibility, Chris and Terrell. Stars are shook because Luke is coming back.
That's good.
214, y'all need to get the hockey honk on more so we can get some real hockey insight.
Okay, whatever.
I thought we were doing a pretty good job this segment.
I thought we were killing it,
yeah, but you can't beat the Hawk.
Maybe I shouldn't watch the games if they're going to give up that many goals at the end.
I mean, the Hawks elite. I think it's the top Stars podcast.
Yeah. It is.
You know, and that's why during the playoffs, like every show tries to book our program director, right? Gavin Spittle, Hockey Hawk. That's who we're talking about here.
His voice is heard all throughout Canada.
It is. Yeah, it resonates as well. 3 of 4 on their own power plays, but the lapse is huge on the penalty kill, which has been a strength, but struggled by allowing 2 power play goals in the third. And then the inability to manage that 6-on-5 in the final minute. You're just sitting there thinking, holy crap. Okay, Woolchuck's hero, the great Emmett Smith, says he's sick of hearing about the Cowboys' title drought. He was on 1310, said, that part bugs me. It bugs me because in my heart, I believe our organization should be contending for an NFC championship game and even a Super Bowl at least once or twice every decade because every team recycles every decade. For us not to be
that
there
long?
Over the last 30 years is a crying shame. When I saw the headline, I thought he was going to homer it up and say, we should contend every year. We're the Cowboys. Mm. He doesn't even have the loftiest of expectations. Mm. He's just saying, get us there once or twice a decade, please. For the love of God, what are we doing? But that's realistic.
Boy, the bar's low now, huh?
But
every 10 years, go to an NFC championship game?
Hey, beggars can't be choosers at this point. I mean, that's just asking for the bare minimum from an ownership group. Hmm. There are 16 teams in the conference. You should get there every 8 years just by math. But I love that quote because it shows Emmett has a great understanding of how the cap works and that you got to ride the roller coaster a little bit, and it recycles for every team. And the thing that sucks, even though the Cowboys try to avoid it, they still have horrible years and go through stretches where they're mediocre for 3 straight years.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's clear even Emmett Smith is the blueprint is laid out there for how to do it correctly.
Yes.
And so now that it is so apparent, what we've been talking about for years is now just so in your face you can't deny it.
Yeah.
This is what it is. And so if you prioritize winning and winning a championship, then you will conduct yourself in a different way. And it'll look a little bit more like teams like what Philadelphia is doing right now instead of what you've been doing for the last 30 plus.
You cannot try to win it every year. And that's essentially what they're trying to do by building a team good enough to make the playoffs every year. We just need to get in and make something happen.
Which the proof is in the pudding that you can't actually get to the conference title game, let alone win a Super Bowl.
There was a brief period of time when the Ravens, the Giants, the Packers maybe were winning it as low seeds, but that has evaporated over the last 10 years at least, maybe even longer than that. But 10, 11, 12, 13, they were bad. 17, 19, 24. That's 7 of the last 15 years you have either been bad or average while trying to manage the salary cap conservatively. And in your best years, you're more of a pretender than a contender. So, you know, maybe these years will be so bad that on the other side, the Jones family will decide, damn it, next time we're close, let's trade for all pros. Let's go get Charles Haley and Deion Sanders and the Rams with Jalen Ramsey and the Buccaneers with Tom Brady and Ndamukong Suh and all those guys they added. Let's go do this the right way, because when it's bad, you got to be patient and wait. And when it's good, you got to strike while the iron's hot. So we have 2 hours of sports coming up for you here in the G-Bag Nation. And up next, an edition of Football's Finest. Eric, what's going on there?
The Giants are up for a pretty prestigious award. We have a bald lion that might be on the horizon, plus some draft stuff next year in the nation.